This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Howdy, hour number two here on the show. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney getting you through your afternoon, coming to you from our studios. It's the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Big hour, big football hour. Packer fans and just fans of general soap opera stuff and quarterback play. Get ready. We're going to get into Rodgers and LaFleur. And then after this, the Seattle Seahawks still flirt with AB. So that still has a little traction. We'll get to it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Listen, this hurricane is just bashing a huge chunk of the country. Teak, the sun is starting to come out where I am, so I know it's starting to come out where you are since you live 5 miles
odd.
Away.
Very odd. All my furniture's tossed all over the place in the back, and then I see the sun out, and it looks like a perfect day to go outside with a nice little breeze blowing.
Well, it's crazy because, you know, at one point our neighbors texted Jen. This is when we were doing the local show. Teak and I have been doing WFAN all week, too, and we'll be doing it Thursday and Friday if you want to check it out at noon locally in New York. And while I was on the air doing that with Teak, one of our neighbors texted Jen, and they said, hey, your basketball hoop is moving, and it's moving perilously close to your new car.
Oh, wow. So,
and keep in mind, I have 50 pounds of water in the base. It's one of those adjustable fiberglass backboards. It moved 6-7 feet.
Yeah.
With the wind.
It was bad. It was bad.
Wow.
It was bad. One of my umbrellas turned over, and that has like 200 pounds of sand in it.
So. Oh, wow. Okay. So hopefully everybody's hanging in. We actually lost power a few times during the local stuff on our home devices. But so far, and by the way, props out to Marlo and the entire TV crew. She coordinated this. D-Cell, matter of fact, D-Cell sent out the first email yesterday. This whole, you know, contingency protocol, talk about protocols in case we get bumped from the air. You know, really, it's behind the scenes stuff. And to be quite honest, the listener and the viewer probably doesn't care, but you should, because without those people doing what they do, we ain't doing what we do. So, you know that we appreciate you. Thanks a lot, guys. Keeping this in order with this horrendous weather. All right, Teak, Aaron, we all love soap opera dramas. We do. It is what it is. We love it on social media. We love it, you know, on the fields of play. We love it on TV and all the various shows on Netflix, whatever it might be, HBO, Showtime. We love this. It resonates with us. So when the Packers draft Jordan Love, you know that there's drama. And you know there's going to be a soap opera. It's inevitable. The question is, when, and we're going to play some good sound here, but the question is for you, Teak, when does it first start to rear its ugly head where we notice?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen this season, BT, because of the fact that Jordan Love, and we've talked about this before, he just hasn't had any reps. He hasn't had any, like, live action or interaction with his coach yet because of the coronavirus. So it's all been virtual. And, yeah, you can learn and you can, you know, have a playbook sitting in front of you on your iPad and have a coach talking through you through a video service, kind of like we're chatting with each other. But the feel and the understanding doesn't happen the same way without being, you know, there and having a football in your hand, learning it, going out, and then executing it. So the Jordan Love, you know, experiment is not happening for a while, I don't think. Even though if you're Aaron Rodgers, you still feel it, right? Because they moved up and they drafted a guy in the first round when they didn't necessarily need him because he wants to play for 3 or 4 more years. And so it just feels like this drama is on pause even though it's like the elephant, the invisible elephant in the room, because it's not the elephant in the room because he's not there yet, but it is the invisible elephant that's right there in the room.
It's an eventual collision course. Let's get to the sound. First off, so this is from yesterday, Packers Media Day, and this is Aaron Rodgers. We'll go with Aaron Rodgers first, and certainly listen to what he says, but more so listen to the tone and the inflection. It just sounds, I don't know, despondent or defeated or accepting maybe of his Packers fate, but listen to Aaron's tone. Go ahead.
I don't know, what the future holds. I know I can control this year and my play and my approach and my attitude, and I'm enjoying being back with the guys. It's fun to see them. Different, obviously, circumstances. There's a lot of things that are strange compared to the last 15 years I've been here, but I'm really enjoying being back here with the guys and being back in meetings and workouts and just seeing the energy.
Now, do you think he's talking about the 15 years, like the last 15 years, just strange? Is he talking about the coronavirus, or is he talking about the fact that he's got his replacement sitting behind him in his meeting room?
Maybe
I don't know. It's probably a little bit of both.
And don't forget, he was very candid a week or so ago with our buddy Kyle Brandt when he flat out said, I mean, the writing's on the wall. I mean, it is what it is. Eventually, and I think he used the word impasse yesterday as well. Basically, and I paraphrase this, but the gist of something else that Roger said, which was really important, he said, when you want to be somewhere longer than your employer, in essence, wants you to be there, generally there's an impasse. And with impasse comes changes. So we all know the writing on the wall. Rogers is he's one of the passive-aggressive types, but I think he's been very forthright, and he's shown us what's in his heart. And I respect that because it's a dent to the ego. He's one of the great quarterback talents of all time. And here he is for a guy that not everybody even thought was a first-round pick in Jordan Love. So
I know. I'd be frustrated too. I really would. Especially because you want to be there for three more years. Like, we got 3 years to win one. Now it's like, I got a year to win one.
Okay.
Right?
Pretty much, pressure's on. It's getting a little tight now. Now we get to the head coach, Coach LeFleur, who, you listen to him, and you would think that the Packers took a linebacker in round one. Here's the coach of the Packers.
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis. And, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
That's coach speak. That's total coach speak.
Interpret former player.
I'm staying in the moment because I don't want to create that drama that everybody's talking about, including the guy at the center of the drama, Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not going there. I'm just going to keep us focused on what's happening right now. And I believe that I have one of the best quarterbacks in football, and I want to work with him, period. That's it. Yeah, I know I was part of the process of drafting his replacement like 3 months ago, but I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, I'll sign up for that interpretation. Do you think that they, or let me phrase it, how much input do you think LaFleur had with the selection of Jordan Love?
Well, honestly, I don't know, because if you follow the tea leaves around this thing, the general manager Gutekunst did it himself, and even though he got input because they knew that Aaron might get hurt or might not finish out his contract, it still felt like it was a GM only decision, even though they probably had some conversations about, well, who do you like in this draft? Quarterback wise, because if there's an opportunity, just like what happened with Aaron Rodgers when he fell all the way to whatever it was, 22 or 23, when he was drafted in that, 15 years ago,
I think it was 24, wasn't it?
It might have been, but still, 24. You had to be like, well, who do you like? If guys fall, who do you like?
Uh-huh.
And they definitely had that conversation, like, oh, we like Jordan Love, But I don't understand this, because if they like Jordan Love, they could have gotten him in the second round. They didn't have to move up to get him in the first round.
That part I don't agree with, because Jordan Love was tempting enough where somebody else could have scooted in, like the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, and taken him after. Say if the Packers go wide receiver, which is what Aaron Rodgers would have wanted, and every Packer fan. Then how do you know that one of the, seven teams, six teams behind them are taking a quarterback.
You don't know that. But I just feel like let me look at it now. So Jordan Love was taken at 26. Seattle wasn't drafting a quarterback.
Baltimore, why not? We didn't think the Packers were.
Yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, Seattle.
Okay, but go ahead. Seattle.
Russell Wilson just. I
got you.
He's 31.
He's going to be 32. Russell, probably not. So I'll 32. Give you that. I got you.
Baltimore is definitely not drafting a quarterback because Tennessee had just signed
Ryan
Tannehill. And Miami had already drafted Tua higher in the round. Minnesota, maybe.
Well, maybe.
Maybe Minnesota, maybe. But they had just re-signed in free agency Kirk Cousins to another ridiculous extension. He's breaking off the bank like every 3 years. I love Kirk Cousins. And we know Kansas City wasn't taking a quarterback. So, I mean, he was going to be there in the second round. Hold on a second.
But you're ignoring something.
What's that?
What would preclude a team from trading with one of those teams who, in theory, and you're
nothing,
right, most of the
nothing in theory.
Exactly.
Nothing in theory, but I just.
If you love the guy, you got to snag him when you can.
Yeah, but I don't know if everybody loved him. I really don't. I know some.
But it only takes one other team.
Maybe a team or two did love him, but I don't think everybody loved him. It wasn't consensus that he was going to be the guy.
But it doesn't have to be a consensus. It has to be one team.
Yes, but are you gonna if you're that one team?
Yeah.
You don't need to move. If there's five teams, you need to move. If there's one team, he's falling to you.
That's if your intel is perfect and you know exactly what the other teams are thinking.
I mean, you could just look at it, BT. I'm just telling you. Seattle, Baltimore, Tennessee. Jump
up? How many slots did Chiefs move up, 11 or 14 to get Mahomes? What was it for Mahomes? How many?
I think it was five or six.
No, it was more than that.
I can't remember the original.
It was a lot.
So,
11?
Yeah, but
anybody see that coming? Nope.
No, it was. You're right. It was 17.
Yeah.
27 to 10. Now, here's the difference. Here's the difference. Andy Reid and his GM and scouting department had put in tons of work on Pat Mahomes, tons of work. And in fact, I read this story, I don't know, maybe it was a year or so ago, that talked about the process of getting Pat Mahomes because it was after the MVP season. It was before he had won a Super Bowl. It was like, how did Pat Mahomes get here? You already had Alex Smith. You're winning 10, 11 games a season. Like, why are you so anxious to go get a Pat Mahomes? Did you move up 17 spots, BT? And the story was, one of the scouts from Kansas City went and saw Pat Mahomes play, or at least he was watching him play a couple of times, and he came back to Andy Reid and was like, this is the best quarterback I've ever seen. Like, the things that he does. It's like, this is the best quarterback that I've ever seen. And nobody else was talking about it. And so Andy Reid, starts doing his work on him, and then down the line, they're like, you know what? This is the best quarterback I've ever seen. So it's like, you just knew that he was in love.
You know
he was in love with him. Andy Reid was in love with him. And that's why they moved up that much to draft him. It's why in his rookie season he played one game because they wanted to see, and he played really well in one game as a rookie, and the next year he wins the MVP. So sometimes you just know. And Jordan Love's tape is not like that.
No,
that's what I'm saying. So Jordan Love, in the same conversation of Pat Mahomes, is insulting to Pat Mahomes.
That's just one example. That's the most recent. There's other. Here's the thing, though, and I don't want to be cynical, all right? But I've heard the same story, and things get embellished and sensationalized over the years, right? The scout, Grote, I believe, G-R-O-T-E, is it Grote? Dick Grote, I believe it is, who drafted Derek Jeter, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Baseball's different, though,
no,
BT. But
baseball's harder to project. Listen, Jeter's rookie year, I guess it would have been Greensboro, wherever his first stint was, he had like 50 errors at shortstop, right? And they're like, well, is this guy going to Double-A? Whatever, they weren't really worried, but they were a little worried. And this guy's like, no, he's going to the Hall of Fame. All right, so now you tell that story
after
Derek gets his 3,000th hit. Hey, the scout knew when
I don't believe that in baseball. There's too much error. There's so much room for error because Derek Jeter very easily could have been a third round pick or 15th round pick.
That's not my point, Teak.
Point is, for a quarterback in the National Football League, if you take him in the first round, you better be right.
Okay,
you
but
better
half
be
the
right.
Teams aren't.
I know they're not, and that's why they don't win Super Bowls. That's why they don't get close to winning Super Bowls.
But
we had this conversation around – but, BT, we had this conversation around Joe Burrow, and this is why I doubted if it was the exact right move. Now, Joe Burrow could turn out to be awesome. He could be a Hall of Famer. But in the NFL, forget baseball. Mm. Forget the, like, the long, slow road through single, double, and high A or whatever the hell it is, the buses, and ultimately you make it and you become a superstar. Forget that. In the National Football League, if you're drafted in the first round as a quarterback, the team better be sure you're going to be a Hall of Famer. Because if you draft a quarterback in the first round, it's because he's going to be your starter and you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And if you're not a Hall of Famer, you don't win Super Bowls in the National Football League. Period. That's just, it's just facts. It's go look at it. 70%.
We've talked about this. I know.
And the ones that haven't had all-time defenses. Not like all-decade defenses. I'm talking all-time defenses have won Super Bowls if you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. So that's the reality. And if you're not thinking that way as a general manager, if you're not saying, is this guy headed to the Hall of Fame, or yeah, this guy's going to be a starter for 3 or 4 years and, you know, maybe he pans out, don't take his ass in the first round because it's not worth it. It's a waste of a draft pick. And so I think the problem, and this is where people get upset with the Packers, if you're a Packers fan, is that can you answer that question like with confidence? Yeah, we traded up. We got Jordan Love. He's going to replace an icon. He's going to be a Hall of Famer and win us Super Bowls. I don't think anybody can say that with confidence. It may happen, but I don't think you can say it with confidence.
You can't say it with confidence, but my point is, as much as it sounds good now, right, with Andy Reid, and it wasn't about the imperfect scouting process of baseball. It was more about being able to almost romanticize and say, yeah, we knew. Okay.
Yeah, but BT, you knew. You knew. You didn't play football. You don't know the ins and out minutia. You do know it better than most, but you don't know the ins and out minutia of scouting.
No, I don't pretend to know. No,
right?
I hear you.
But you knew. BT, you said it, and not me.
Well, I did.
Not the football player. You, the baseball player, said, Pat Mahomes going to win an MVP.
I didn't say that.
Come on, what are you
talking
about?
No, not an MVP, the MVP, the next
MVP.
Season.
Yeah, that's what
Big
I mean.
Difference.
You said this is rookie season.
I did.
You knew.
So
if you knew, how the hell did nobody else know? You know what I mean?
That goes against my argument. Stop bringing up the points
that I made. It goes completely against your argument because I was like, you're crazy.
Let me ask you this.
Texas Tech? I mean, really? No.
I know. Well, the game against Baker Mayfield, it was like 70-whatever to whatever.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
To wrap up the Rodgers stuff, I'll let you answer this. What do you think was more perplexing / infuriating to Rodgers? I think I know the answer, but I think it's kind of close.
Yeah.
Seeing a quarterback's name flash across the screen in round one or not getting a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think it's not getting the wide receiver.
Oh,
I think
really?
I think when you look at –
I thought you were going to say the other thing. Wow.
No, because, I mean – I don't think Aaron Rodgers is immune to competition. You know what I mean? The great ones are. In fact, you know, just personally, when we drafted Ron Dane, who had just won the Heisman Trophy, it made me better. Right?
One of the great college players of all time, Ron Dane.
Absolutely right. Top five all time, right?
Yep.
And so, but when you're Aaron Rodgers and you see Jordan Love get drafted at 26, you're pissed and you're mad, but then you say, all right, T. Higgins is still on the board. Michael Pittman Jr. is still on the board. The kid Chenault is still on the board. The dude I love from Penn State, K.J. Hamler, was still on the board. There were some good players, still left on the board that the Packers just kind of said, yeah, we don't need them.
Okay.
We need a
quarterback. I thought you were going to say the other thing from an ego point of view, but when you actually back it up, it makes sense. I got you. All right, coming up, speaking of receivers, Russell Wilson has got a couple of really good ones, and he might have another really good one, albeit a combustible one. They're still kicking the tires on AB. Should they do it? Will they do it? We'll talk Seattle coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney's 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn more. We're going to get to the Seattle Seahawks' continued pursuit of Antonio Brown. I just saw this, though. This was a couple of minutes ago, and this is important here. Because it's important for the player, but it's also important to look at what this would mean moving forward. Okay. Statement from the Lions. Today, we removed Matthew Stafford from the COVID IR list and onto the active roster. Ian Rappaport had this. I'm sure others had it. I've got it from Rapp's Twitter account. As a result of a false positive test result, he was forced due to NFL and NFLPA protocol to sit out until he received two negative tests.
Wow.
His testing sequence for the pre-entry period was negative, negative, false positive. The next three tests were all negative. To be clear, Matthew does not have COVID-19 and has never had COVID-19, and the test in question was a false positive. And then he talks about the family, the Stafford family.
Yeah.
First of all, that's great
his
news.
Wife, his wife obviously had cancer, brain cancer, right?
Yeah.
So she was very vulnerable.
Very. That was heartbreaking, but it seems like she's doing okay, thank God.
Yeah, it does.
That was a vicious battle that she seemingly has won, which is amazing. But the thing that worries you as a fan, like, okay, so what if this happens the night before the game?
Yeah.
Or the day of the game?
Yeah, you're right.
You can't play.
You can't play, and that's the complication that's going to be,
that's a problem.
It's not gonna derail, but it's concerning
of
the NFL. Well, it's gonna create a competitive imbalance that's unnecessary. And so yeah, the false negative and false positives, by the way, are
true.
Two of the most complicating things with this coronavirus, because it keeps evolving, I mean, and mutating. So the testing is probably behind in some regards. So this is not as straightforward as it sounds. Oh, I tested, I'm positive or I'm negative.
No.
You might not necessarily actually know.
No, but think about this. Like, to me, this could be, because you know what's going to happen once, at least. This, to me, could be a huge issue for the NFL. You say, competitive disadvantage, slight. Okay, you move through. But what if the Lions miss the playoffs by one game? And what if that's one game that Matthew Stafford didn't play?
Yeah.
I mean, think about
that.
Yeah,
this exact scenario. Just this exact scenario. If there was a game this weekend, let's say this past weekend, and Matt Stafford was put on the COVID list. I think he was put on over the weekend.
He was.
So he gets put on the COVID-19 list, and, you know, the day after the game, say they get blown out by the Packers.
The Bears.
You know, whoever. They lose to the Bears. The team they probably should beat, right? They lose to the Bears.
Maybe.
And then on Monday, he comes
back. It's false positive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? How do you reconcile that?
Well, you don't, which is why I think it's a big problem. It's a big fear.
Yeah.
That is not good.
No, I think you're right.
I think you're
very right.
Man, that's the first thing I thought of. That is problematic. I mean, guys are walking into stadiums or going to walk through on Saturday the day before Sunday game. You know, you get the swab, you get the nose, you get, so-and-so tested positive. False positive doesn't play because you need back-to-back negative tests, as we know.
And there's not enough time
to rectify that based on if it happens on Saturday or even if it happens on Friday, depending upon the timing, and you're playing Sunday. Wow. All right, we'll see. Antonio Brown. See, in my opinion, because there's still noise out there, Pete Carroll said it's basically up to the GM. We'll see what happens here. My opinion, somebody like Antonio Brown, it's fully dependent upon the infrastructure of the organization.
Yep.
What's the head coach quarterback dynamic? What's the GM dynamic? And the other guys in the position room, what is that dynamic? Well, you got Lockett, you got Metcalf, and you also brought in Greg Olsen, who won't be in the wide receiver room necessarily.
But he's there. Yeah, he's there, though.
But will be a sage voice. Teak, I can't believe I'm about to say it. I think Seattle should sign him.
Well, I mean,
I really do.
I honestly believe that somebody will. I said this on Friday when you were out, BT, and it was simply because now the teams know exactly how long he's unavailable. So if you missed this last weekend, Commissioner Goodell handed down a 8-game suspension for Antonio Brown, something he asked for, right? He said, NFL, you're dragging your feet on this. You need to resolve this and let me know my status so that I can get on with my professional life. And prior to that, he had said, I'm retiring because the NFL is messing around with me. Well, they finally came through, and it's 8 games. Now, if I'm a team, Seattle, for instance, and I, you know, I'm okay with my depth, but maybe concerned about my depth at the wide receiver position. And I know that as long as I can push through for 8 games and, you know, have a healthy Antonio Brown joining me on the back half of the season, There's no question about this. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is in the same situation or same circumstances who are looking for a dynamic player. They have good players, and they're obviously going to be predominantly run-focused because that's what Lamar Jackson's skill set provides for that not just him as a runner, but also his running backs there. But they still need a dynamic player in the wide receiving core. So, yeah, I agree with you, BT. There's no doubt I would sign Antonio Brown right now. It's going to be minimal, the number, right? Yeah. It's not going to cost you a ton. Yeah. And even if it did, it's half of the salary because he's suspended for 8 games.
Correct.
And he seems really eager and motivated to be back on the football field. That's why he's been practicing and you know, doing whatever, Instagram videos with every star quarterback he can find in the NFL. So yeah. I absolutely believe he's going to get signed, and I think Seattle or Baltimore are great landing spots for him.
I do too, and that's why I think we all think it probably would have worked out quite well for the Patriots last year if that didn't, you know, go mm-hmm. sideways what it did, you know, in terms of him fitting in the building. You know, first game they fed him on that drive. He had 3 catches, had a touchdown against Miami, and then obviously the wheels came off for different reasons. But yeah. I look at, you know, the quarterback, and can he command the huddle? That's Russell Wilson's huddle. You don't like it, get lost.
That's right.
And you look at the situation when he was putting on, you know, the spectacle of the during Raiders camp for a multitude of reasons. Derek Carr's probably not the Raiders' quarterback in a couple of years. Maybe not next year. The GM, I think we like him, Mike Mayock, but it was his first year. There were, you know, the wide receiver room, young. So all the talk about the infrastructure, I would do it. And while Pete Carroll didn't directly address AB by name, he was asked about this, obviously, said, hey, we're always trying to get better.
Been a lot of rumors connecting you guys with Antonio Brown. His situation sort of, I guess, got clarified last week with the suspension. Is that anything you would still consider at all? Or?
Well, what I'd say to you is just what we always say, because it's what we always do and who we are. John is competing at every turn. And there's never been a process, unless we just missed it, that we weren't involved with to understand what the chances were helping our club. And he's all over it. He knows what's going on right now and as much as you can. And it remains a, you know, it's a very complex situation. And we just need to see where it fits somewhere down the road. Not, you know, and that's all I got for you.
Teek, real quick here, I'm going to give you a wild card team. I have not heard this team connected to this player, nor do I think he will wind up there. But if I want to adhere to my own model about the quarterback and the head coach and the GM and the insulation of the organization, the infrastructure, blah, 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 you know, who, if it's my team who I might at least have a cursory interest in AB, you know what team that would be?
Who's that?
The Colts.
Yeah.
The Colts.
Yeah. I mean, the question
you can use
is,
a little more. Just yeah. Why not?
The question is I wonder if AB is interested in the Colts. I think Antonio. Yeah,
probably
I agree.
Not.
I mean, honestly, he could be. He doesn't have a choice. he's the one that needs a job. But the teams that we're talking about are viable, like championship component teams that have good infrastructures, as you alluded to, with from the, you know, front office down through the coaching staff, through the players, the leaders at least on the team, and they're in position to maybe win a championship. And I don't know if the Colts are that. There's so many uncertainties with Phillip Rivers or Jacoby Brissett. I think Phillip Rivers wins that job, but who knows? And I think it's a little bit less certain and I think solid than these other two teams that we're talking about.
I would agree. That's why I say it's a wild card. But no, I'm with you. It's behind the Ravens in Seattle. All right, coming up next, let's break. Let's get Axe Update. We've got Albert Breer coming up, senior reporter, MMQB. On the false positive, and what if this was actually during the season? How do they find a way to navigate this? The AB stuff, who else might opt out? The deadline is on Thursday. We'll get to it all. Breer after Axe Update. Here's Rich coming at you right now.
It's a good tune right here. This is good. It's old school.
Old school. All right, this weekend on CBS, Teek, the best golfers in the world, head west for the season's first major, Brooks Koepka. Going to try to take home his third straight Wanamaker trophy, or somebody else, will they step in and hoist it and jump into their place in history? It's the PGA Championship, and it's live starting Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on CBS. And Justin Thomas coming off his huge win Brooks Koepka was there at the end. I saw Tiger getting some work in. Tiger was on the course early today, played nine, and Phil striped it pretty well. He was on the first page this past weekend. Good golf coming up this weekend, first major on CBS. All right, Teek, we're joined by Albert Breer, and we've got a lot of questions. And Albert is an info guy, which is great, the MMQB senior NFL reporter. Mr. Breer, how you doing, buddy? Welcome back to Teeky and Tierney. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great. I got a real concern. I've got a real question about what the NFL is going to do. I know you saw the Matthew Stafford stuff, so he basically sat out unnecessarily with the false positive. So it's one thing early in camp. All right, you can get around it. Not a big deal. Get back to practice. But what happens if that's on a Friday or a walkthrough on a Saturday and it's a false positive and you miss the game and you lose and then you get word the next day it's a false positive?
I hate to be so crass about this, but it's the reality, and I think it's, you know, just another thing that kind of goes into the bucket of so much of what happens this year in the NFL rides on what happens in the rest of the country. And you know, I've said that for a while, that I believe their ability to get a season played is going to, in part, you know, be, you know, related to how we're doing as a country in September and October and November. And this is another thing that I think fits into that box, you know, where it's, you know, you hope that you have more reliable testing when you get to the fall. But, you know, I think this is what everybody knows they signed up for. And, you know, I'm a little too young to remember all the ins and outs of the 1987 strike, but I know some older people who are involved in the league have said that, you know, this year is going to kind of have that sort of feel, in all likelihood, just the reality of what we're dealing with. And, you know, when you decide to play a football season in this sort of situation, that's what you're signing up for.
Yeah, and you're signing up for a lot of guys who are starting to opt out. I think it's over 40, maybe even close to 50 at this point, who have decided to opt out for varying reasons. Some of them are because they're at risk and they don't want to risk anything. But the league is, I think, nervous about this. They set the deadline till Thursday, which is 2 days from now. It feels truncated, but it's probably not because guys have had time to think about this. You know, how bad do you think the opt-out problem is going to get in the next 2 days, or have we seen the bulk of it?
No, I mean, I would just tell you, I think a lot of guys are thinking about it, you know, and I think the effect of some of the guys early on opting out was felt in that it gave everybody else cover, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think you had Laurent Duvernay-Tardif in Kansas City opting out almost immediately.
Yeah.
And to me, like, and you were a player, you can answer this. If you're a player and you see the one actual medical doctor in your ranks opting out immediately, doesn't that make you say, like, oh,
that's
whoa,
a good point.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's a good point. I think he also did it because, like, he really cares about
serve,
being a
right.
doctor, and he wants to serve. I remember I did a podcast with him when he was young in the league, and I was so impressed with how hard he's working at being a doctor. It's one thing to say, yeah, I want to be a doctor, I want to go get my MD, but to actually do the things that he does in the offseason, it's impressive.
Yeah, and so I know that, but I think it's that point, because I think it would, like, get your attention, you know, I think it would get your attention. And so,
yeah, no doubt.
I think that combined with, you know, a Dante Hightower, you know, opting out, you know, I think you see some of the big names opting out, and to me, that at least gives other guys cover, where, you know, you maybe have to worry a little bit less about how, you know, people are going to respond to what you're doing, and a little bit more on your own personal situation and how comfortable you feel about going out there and playing. And so I do think that, to some degree, having some of the early opt-outs that we did at least caused some people to contemplate the idea of it. And so I do think that there's a good amount of guys that are thinking about it. And it's interesting because, you know, the league really wanted this opt-out deadline to be as early as they could have it. And the initial agreement had been, all right, like, it's going to be 1 week after you're done with the side letter, which is, you know, finalizes the revisions to the CBA. Well, that side letter got done on Monday, and rather than it being next Monday, now the deadline's Thursday. And I think that sort of reflects the league wanting to have some certainty going forward. And I do think that there were some people, you know, with some teams and even at the league level that were nervous that players were going to get in the building and sort of look around and see how weird it is and see how different it is and sort of feel uncomfortable with that and then maybe decide to opt out, you know?
That's
and so I think that they wanted to make sure that guys, I think they wanted to make sure that guys had to make decisions fast. Otherwise, you know, you're around this a little bit more and maybe you get a little bit more uncomfortable with it. And then maybe we see more opt outs. And, you know, I think the idea was to stop that sort of chain reaction, which, we can argue till we're blue in the face about how underhanded that might be.
What about a coach, though? Are we going to see that?
I don't think so. I mean, we haven't yet, and I think we probably would have already. But I do know that there are some coaches that have concerns. You know, I was talking to a guy on a staff, the other day, and you know, he said, well, we got a guy here who has a heart condition. And so, you know, he thought about it. We're doing everything we can to protect him now. I talked to another coach, you know, probably a week before that, who has asthma, you know, who, you know, has some of the same concerns as some of the players with asthma would have. And so, you know, I think there is that definite, you know, that there's definitely been those sorts of things that have been bounced around by coaches. You know, but each of these guys, their situations are a little bit different in that they may not be protected the way that the players are. And I think that those guys are wired a certain way too, where it's like, you know, they're worried. I mean, you know, you see so many of these guys go a year or 2 years out of work. Like a lot of these guys, I think, have sort of the mindset that if they walk away, those jobs might not be there for them anymore. So, you know, I think for some players that comes into play too. So, you know, I think if we were going to see, you know, a high profile coach opt out of the season, I think we would have seen it already.
So we're talking to Albert Breer, and Albert, of course, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. He is the senior NFL reporter, MMQB, the MMQB, and he's with us here on the show, as I said. Go ahead, Tiki.
Yeah, you know, so one of the things we started our show with was talking about OBJ's comments and the money and how these guys are being viewed by the owners. And I pushed back on that a little bit because I think that some owners have good relationships with the players. Not all of them, but some of them do. But there really is a huge economic risk if this season isn't played because of the billions of dollars that it generates now, but also the CBA, or not the CBA, the broadcast package is going to be renegotiated in the next season. I mean, how important is this season to the owners? I mean, it's also important to the players because they care about money too, but how important is this to the owners to make this thing happen with the same kind of ease that it feels like the NBA is having their season go off?
It's really important, Tiki. I mean, I think, you know, the broadcast deals are obviously hanging in the balance, and there's a lot of initiatives that they're working on now outside of just that, you know, going forward that they want to have momentum for. Gambling's obviously a big one, and I wouldn't be surprised if, to make up for the revenue shortfall that they are going to have this year, if they accelerate the timetable on that. Mm-hmm. I know they felt like before, you know, they wanted to see where it was legalized in every state that has a team before they went forward with their plans there. Maybe that gets sped up a little bit. You know, and then the other thing is, you know, 17 games and some of their aspirations internationally. And so, you know, I think that they know that, you know, to have momentum, you have to have games. And, you know, they've been planning to have pretty big jumps in revenue coming over the next few years because of all of these sort of additions to their inventory. And now to have that sort of, you know, affected by this, I think, you know, it's obviously from a business standpoint something that they have to consider. And so
yeah.
I don't think that they ever really considered, like, the idea of not having a season. And I could even tell you, like, there were some teams, and I'm talking about, like, smart, well-run teams, they wanted the start of the season pushed back to October so you can study what's happening in baseball and basketball and hockey a little bit, maybe have a better idea, have a little more runway as far as training camps go to the season. And that was 100% a non-starter for the league office. So they've wanted to go forward with this, and I think a big part of it is trying to build confidence with the public, trying to build confidence with their partners, their advertisers, that everything's going to be okay. And if it is, you know, then they build – momentum, or they at least are able to maintain some of the momentum towards some of the, you know, business things that they have coming in the next few years.
But Albert, I would frame it as arrogance. That's how I would frame it, because there's nothing out there.
If you don't think that's a play, you don't know the NFL.
It obviously is, but it's one thing to be arrogant when you can afford to be arrogant, when there's no
repercussions. If you are recklessly arrogant now, you sabotage everything.
Well, I will tell you this, though. I think one thing that's sort of given them, and you can call it a false sense of confidence about how all this is going to go, we'll see whether it is or not, is that they went forward with free agency when people said they shouldn't. That went fine. They went forward with the draft when people said they shouldn't. That went fine. They were able to pull off an entire virtual off-season program. You know, and look, like, there are differences. I don't need to tell you guys. I mean, it's a lot different doing something over a computer than it is congregating hundreds of people in buildings and trying to go through work weeks and those sorts of things. So there are obvious differences. But I do think that their ability to pull off those things in the spring did give them a sense of confidence and a feeling that we just got to put our head down and go through with this because that's what's best for the business.
Hey, Albert, we only have about a minute and a half here, but AB got an 8-game suspension and finally came down. I think it gives clubs actually more clarity on whether or not they want to sign Antonio Brown. What is the likelihood, and is there a destination that you speculate or are hearing that he might end up at?
I agree with you. It gives them clarity. I also think that the fact that you're buying low on him put some other teams in play just because, you know, wherever he goes, he's going with no power, right? Yeah. Like, and wherever he goes, and I'm assuming it'll be a good team because, you know, there's no reason for a bad team to sign him. You know, you go one where the coach really has the hammer because this could be his last shot in the NFL. So I do think the idea that he's sort of at a low point that you're buying low on him changes the dynamic a little bit from where it was last year. I do think he lands on a team, and the team that I keep hearing, and it's been out there, I'm not breaking news here, will be Seattle, just because Pete Carroll has been able to pull off these sorts of risks in the past.
Yeah.
And the fact that Pete would be sort of controlling that situation where it's, if he's any problem, he's gone. You know, having that sort of power, I think, makes a risk like, can make a risk like this seem worthwhile. Now, you could argue about the moral stuff and everything else, and you know his transgressions are very, very serious. There's no question. But if you're comfortable with that part of it, I do understand why a team like Seattle might roll the dice on him.
All right. Albert Breer, thanks a lot, bud. Appreciate you. Albert Breer there.
Yep. Great stuff, Albert.
Thank you. The MMQB senior NFL reporter. So agreeing with us on the AB stuff there. And we'll see. You know, a lot to uncover with that. We're going to get to some NBA coming up next here. Pretty common thought. LeBron plays well. Lakers roll. But is AD really the key? If you really think about this, the key to the championship if they could get it this year. We'll talk hoops next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.